A reading from Matthew, chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead. And indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God. Yesterday, at this hour, I was in Acacia Park Cemetery at the top of Pilot Knob Hill overlooking St. Paul. It was a gorgeous Saturday morning, but I wasn't paying much attention to the weather when I arrived. I was looking down at my feet, stepping carefully between grave markers there. My purpose in going to the cemetery was to assist a young couple in a very sad burial. We gathered above a small cavity in the ground and prayed over the body of a person whose born date and death date were the same. There were a dozen people there, half of them children, in bright spring clothes. What a paradox to spend a beautiful spring day in the cemetery. I looked up over acre upon acre of headstones, in addition to the centuries of native people whose bodies have been returned to the earth on Pilot Knob Hill. Tragedy and death are so real, beloveds. Even at Easter time, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb, we read. They picked their way along the rocks that marked the path. They knew the way well enough, where to turn left and where right, which rocks were steady enough to step on and which to avoid. Their hearts were filled with all that had been in the last week. Death was all too real, and they were filled with the enormity of what had happened. Had it only been 3 days since they had been with him? It felt like a whole lifetime. Barely a week had passed since the walk into Jerusalem. Dozens of people had lined the path as Jesus walked among them, then rode a small donkey as they cried out, if you remember, "Hosanna, save us." Such messianic and revolutionary hopes dashed. Salvation had not come with power as expected, or angel armies as they had hoped. Instead, the mirage had given way by Thursday to a meal with the disciples, one of whom would betray and all of whom would desert him. Jesus had walked among them there too, washing their feet, feeding them at the table, then going with them to the Garden of Gethsemane. It was impossible to forget the Palm Sunday crowds and the vision on Maundy Thursday of arrest, deadly spears, clubs, and a cut-off ear. Then Friday,
terrible Friday. Jesus had walked with them every step of the way until he could walk no further for the nails in his feet. It was on Friday when they carried him, walking his body from the cross to the tomb. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary are thinking about all these things when the earthquake strikes and knocks them from their feet. Such a great earthquake, to say nothing of the brilliant angel messenger who follows. It's one of those moments when everything in life can be measured according to it, before and after, as though the path they have been following is suddenly turned on its head. The ground shifts underneath them, and the facts of life and death which have flooded the hearts of these two disciples suddenly do not seem so inevitable. The inexorable arrows of death pointing from Sunday's parade to Thursday's arrest to Friday's crucifixion have now been turned back on themselves. The angel messenger proclaims, "He has been raised," as he said. Death's arrows have bounced off the tomb. They cannot win against this Christ, whose love is stronger than death. He is Emmanuel, determined to be God with us, walking with us the entire way. And by the rebounding of this undying love, Friday and Thursday and Sunday are reversed. The inexorable arrows of destiny to Jerusalem, to Gethsemane, to Golgotha, are turned on their head, where they once pointed just to the tomb and to the destiny of death for all of us. Now these point out of the tomb. Walk with us now, Jesus, we pray, from the tomb, from the cemetery, and into all the places where you would lead us after this, where your eternal life is found, beginning now. You know how airplanes have those lights on the floor that illumine in the case of an emergency? You know the ones I'm talking about? They point the way to go. Imagine that today, as we leave the sanctuary, the arrows that we have been walking in this Holy Week, the arrows that point from Palm Sunday to Monday, Thursday to Good Friday, those arrows no longer point in the way of inevitable death. They are instead arrows pointing the way where Jesus will walk with us from the tomb. And where do they go, these arrows on the aisle that would point us out into the light? Jesus will go from the tomb back to Galilee, he tells the disciples, and will find them there, back where they have come from, back in their customary, their everyday lives. When we leave the church today and return to what might be considered ordinary life, that's the Galilee of everydayness where Christ would walk with us. So walk with us, Jesus, we pray. Walk with us to our homes and families, such as they are, broken and mended, fighting or blended. Walk with us to our places of work or leisure, transforming them from mindless activities into spaces that show holy love. Walk with us to classrooms and office visits and job interviews, accompanying us when hope seems possible and also when defeat is all too real. Walk with us into our public life, healing the divides of us and them, the terror that screams from the news, with a greater call to servanthood and humility. Walk with us, Jesus, from the tomb. After the brief graveside service was done yesterday, my heart was more able to take in the beautiful view there from Pilot Knob Hill. I wish I could say we felt or saw resurrection immediately, but it's sometimes hard to see, especially when death is so close. Nevertheless, as we climbed a hill back up to the parking lot on top, we felt the caress of warm sun and gentle wind usher us along. One member of the family reached out to offer an arm to another on the uneven ground. Walk with us, Jesus. The parents stopped at the top and looked back, taking in the resting place of their beloved. Walk with us, Jesus. Then they piled into cars, going to a picnic afterward so the young children could play together. I don't know for sure where the picnic was, but I swear I heard one of them say, Galilee. Walk with us, Jesus, from the tomb. Walk with us, Jesus, from the tomb to all the ordinary Galilees that come next in our lives. Transform what seems commonplace with an earthquake of your undying love. Inspire us with your sacrificial courage that we might seize chances to boldly love neighbors and strangers and enemies as you do. Mend what continues to need mending. Deliver us from bondage to death. And transform the rocky paths we travel into paths where we will see you face to face. Walk with us, Jesus, from the tomb and into the rest of our lives. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah.